The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning again, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. We're talking about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors, and we're joined this morning by Keith Lockwood, who is with us from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishing and Boating Service. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. Doing well.
Good. Glad to hear it. What's going on out there? Anything good? Should be good. Full moon?
I'm watching the moon. I'm sitting out on my porch here. I'm watching the moon set.
Yeah.
But there's not a breath of wind this morning, which is really wonderful for anybody that's out fishing this morning.
That's right. Yep. It's the strawberry moon, by the way. I don't know if you knew that's what it was called. I'm sure you did. But
I've heard it called that, or the mini moon. Apparently the smallest moon of the year.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly right.
But whether, you know, guys are out fishing for largemouth this morning, I mean, this is just... With no wind, this is just perfect for topwater stuff.
Oh, trust me.
and I'm sure there are guys down in the lower chop tank right now and everywhere else fishing for striped bass in the shallows.
No doubt.
Same thing with topwater.
Yep, and that's, I love what happens when a fish strikes a topwater bait, whether it's a buzz bait or a... My all-time favorite, I've said it here 100 times, is a little number 9 Gold Rapala. It's not a big bait. You know, it's just an average size bait. It looks like a struggling little bait fish at the top, but I love fishing that thing for anything and everything. And it just does my heart good when that big old fish comes up there and sucks that thing in or jumps up over top of it, slaps it with its tail, or just blows up. Oh, it's just, there's nothing like topwater fishing. No question about it.
It is. It's a lot of entertainment, whether you catch the fish or not.
Exactly. Exactly right. So we've got hot weather coming. We're not talking about, but the water temperatures aren't there yet, are they?
No, they've been a bit depressed, and because of the rain, the salinities have been down low in the bay also.
Okay.
You know, the rivers and ponds and stuff, the water temp pretty much is on the mark there, but in the Chesapeake, it's been a little depressed, but it'll come up quick with this warm weather that's coming.
No question.
We're like 70 degrees in the tidal rivers and mid-60s in the bay.
Yeah. The fishing is off and on the bay. Some days, you know, the guys are going out on the charter boats and, you know, six guys limit out in 15 minutes. Other days, you can't buy a fish. What's going on with that?
Well,
I mean, I have two words that describe that, and I've used them for 20-some years, and it's very simply fish swim. But it isn't always that simple, is it?
Well, we still, we have the Mayworm hatch, and they've been gorging themselves on that.
Tell folks what that is.
It is, if you've ever gotten some oysters, you know, and you've had to shuck them or wash them, you'll see these little, they're called polychaete, which means they have many legs. They have these little whisker things on their sides, almost like a centipede, sort of. And those are called, we commonly call those clam worms. And they live in the bottom of the bay, the oyster reefs and stuff. And you don't see them anymore, Alan, but when I was young, the large version of that was called a sandworm.
Right.
Which we used to use for striped bass. We used to get them. They would be like 8-9 inches long, and we would float them in the current to catch striped bass. But anyway, our version is, they're usually about 4 inches, something like that. And this time of the year on this moon, this last moon in May, of course now it's early June.
Right.
They transform. they look like this pink worm thing that swims on the surface of the water, and they're doing their spawning ritual. And you know, if guys have a dock light or something, sometimes you'll see them swarming underneath the light, and yeah, the fish just go crazy. It's like woohoo, free food.
You know? Yeah, free protein. Everywhere. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they have you know, I used to tarpon fish quite a bit in the Keys, and around Memorial Day they used to have the same thing. They used to call it a palo worm, and the tarpon would just swim around slurping these things up.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's, you know, it's like the when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly or something. It's,
yeah,
it's
match the hatch type
transition.
Of thing. Match but, the hatch. So
you know,
so
they,
so they're gorging on these worms, 24/7. I would suspect of basically going with the tide or whatever, or when the bloom occurs mm-hmm. during the nighttime. You know, they're eating. They're eating. So you know, they may have a little bit of lockjaw. But what's the technique for unlocking that, Keith?
Well,
you're the man, buddy. That's why you're here to answer the hard questions.
It's almost like sometimes largemouth bass, for instance, you know, sometimes they just can't help themselves. They might have just eaten some, but they see a chatterbait or a buzzbait come by, and they're just like, I can't resist this. You know?
I've seen guys, believe it or not, trolling hoses for striped bass already early in the year. I don't know what they're trying to imitate, but...
Eels.
I know eels, but I mean the little red hoses that they're using, the little bright red hoses, or even the kind of the transparent cherry red hoses.
In the lower bay and the mid bay right now, there's some bluefish.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
A good lure for bluefish.
Sure.
But some of the guys are starting to troll spoons now.
Uh huh.
Trolling a spoon, you can use a planer, which is. Yeah, it's a lot nicer when you're reeling a fish in because everybody's using heavy inline weights to get down where the fish are.
Right.
Most of the fish seem to be suspended right around the 30 and 35 foot edges of the shipping channel on actually both sides of the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the fish are headed north.
You're talking north along the Atlantic coast. You're talking about...
No, I mean in the bay.
The fish are headed north. Why are they headed north?
Headed to the middle and upper bay, maybe. You know, they did that last year. The upper bay really had it good.
Yeah. What are we talking? Dissolved oxygen or something like that? Or what? Or food or what? Or a combination?
There's something that they like. And unfortunately, they won't tell me. They don't talk to me. But
Keith, you do the fishing report. I thought you were one-on-one with these fish. I thought, you know.
Sometimes it's easy to nail down. Like a couple of years ago, all the fish were stuck on the hill.
Yes, they were.
When we,
during the Diamond Gym.
Diamond Gym, and we tagged the fish there, and they all stayed there. I think we had 55 qualifiers.
I remember.
Broke the bank.
Oh! Not only broke the bank, it broke the back of the NRP to administer the lie detector test. It broke the bank of the reporters. I think poor Joe Evans was about to go insane.
But that was all water quality. You know,
yeah,
the fish went deeper. There was no oxygen. If they went shallower, it was too warm.
Right,
and they just stayed there.
Right there. But they're headed
some
north.
Have the theory that it's the Mayworms.
Yeah.
You know, in the lower bay where they've had some terrible oxygen problems on the bottom, that the clam worms, they're not there.
Not there. Mm-hmm.
And the fish are following them up the bay.
Okay.
The other is, of course, it's just water quality. You know, they got to breathe and they got to feel comfortable. And, you know, there's a great program that DNR has called Eyes on the Bay, and they map that stuff out, and they actually did an analysis of what they call hypoxia
right.
in 2016. If people go on their website, you can see the report, and they have charts, and they show the different oxygen levels in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, that has a lot to do with where the fish go.
Hypoxia.
Where the oxygen is and where the water's cool enough.
How about these well documented and well publicized dead zones? Are we still dealing with a lot of that?
Well, that's what we're talking.
I know
about.
I understand. Yeah. I'm trying to link it to the audience here. They know dead zone. They may not know hypoxia, but I mean, you know, some people say that if you're a fish, you may as well just abandon the bay because there's so many big dead zones you can't live here. And I don't ascribe to that theory, but I'm over exaggerating, of course, but you know, some people it's panic time,
I tend to agree with you. I mean, I often tell people, I mean, this poor old girl, man, she takes everything we throw at her. You know, we got half of Pennsylvania in the bag, you know, in regards to silt.
Yep.
And they're constantly, well, I shouldn't say constantly, but periodically they have some problems when they have heavy rains and they
sure.
have problems at some of these regional sewage treatment plants.
Yep.
And everybody's got a little piece of the action. You know, they call, of course, non-point source pollution, and it's a little bit of antifreeze. It's a little bit of lawn fertilizer, you know.
Everything that washes off your driveway or your lawn and down the sewer drains, I get
it. You know, and Alan, when I moved here, I used to do a lot with teaching kids at the Oxford lab, and I remember I was like, okay, there's 14 million people in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, and then somebody a couple years later said, you know, it's like 17 now. And I know I haven't checked it lately, but I know we're over 20 million people now in the Chesapeake Bay watershed.
Right.
And again, this old girl, she takes everything we throw at her, and she's doing pretty good.
So far, so good.
Better than she was. We've gotten better marks in the last couple of years in regards to the general health of the bay.
We got to see. We put that in the Crab magazine that the this year the Bay Report card was a C. Let me see if I can find it here quickly or quickly enough. But we'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, I mean, Robin and I went across Conowingo on Route 1 the other day. And I said, look to your left over there. You see all that garbage floating up there? She goes, yeah. Why don't they clean that up? I said, why should they? They're just going to get more of it. She goes, but it's horrible looking. I said, yeah, but that's not what the problem is. The problem is underneath with all that silt backed up behind those gates.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it goes. But yeah, she has taken everything. But let's get back to the fishing part, because that's all that stuff's depressing. The Chesapeake Bay Report Card is produced by the Integration and Application Network at the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Services. And they are giving the Chesapeake Bay Health a C. Patapsco Back River, Lower Western Shore, Patuxent River, York River, and the Elizabeth River, which are down in Virginia, all get a D. And that's, I'm assuming, because of a lot of those pollution concerns that you were talking about as far as the sewage treatment plants and things like that. The Upper Bay, the Upper Western Shore, the Upper Eastern Shore, the Chop Tank, Lower Shore, they all get a C. Potomac gets a C. Rappahannock gets a C. Lower Bay, actually, below Virginia Line, gets a B because of the Elizabeth River, because of the health. And you can find that on page 69 of the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine, but are also on the University of Maryland website. So, so we're talking about a little bit about stripers. You said there's some bluefish in the Lower Bay. Tell us about the perch and the catfish, and then we'll take a break.
Boy, have we got perch.
Yeah.
Beautiful white perch this year. I've taken a couple of kids with grass shrimp, and it's just thick. I hope I haven't spoiled them. It was nonstop.
Right.
The white perch fishing is great. And it's a wonderful diversion, because it doesn't take a lot to go. You know?
Right.
You just need
an
old pier. If you're out in a kayak or a boat, you can, you know, at this time of the day, in the morning or evening, you can cast, you know, little MEP spinners and things like that.
Yeah.
Or you can just fish off a dock, you know, with grass shrimp or bloodworms.
On a bobber.
Catfish. We got catfish all over the place.
Oh, everywhere.
A lot of channel catfish. of course, the blue catfish are spreading.
Sure.
And the flatheads are, too. And
Not confined so much to the Susquehanna anymore? Are they moving out into the other rivers now?
Well, we've got quite a population of flatheads that's up near the dam in the
right.
lower Susquehanna.
Right.
And they like that. But the blue cats can tolerate the more of the, the tidal rivers.
Sure.
Estuarine rivers. And we've got them, for instance, here in the Choptank and the Nanticoke on the Eastern Shore. And, they've been popping up all over the place.
Oh, sure. Sure. What I'm seeing in Dorchester County is the advent of the snakehead, and not just the little ones. I'm talking the 35 inch, enormous top tier predator snakehead. Yeah.
It's a habitat well suited to them. And I've been down there talking to some of the locals, and they love it. It's low pH water, and there's not a whole lot there. And but there's a good food base of, minnows and stuff. And,
yep.
They're having fun catching these things, and they're taking them home and eating them.
That's what that's what fishing's all about, isn't it? So
it can, yeah.
Unfortunately, this invasive species. When I moved to Maryland, Keith, there were signs up on the Potomac River about bowfins. When's the last time you saw a bowfin?
The last time I actually saw one, like where I caught one, was down in Florida,
right?
A couple years ago.
Sure.
We caught one down there, and I was, marveling at it.
They're an amazing fish. I've only ever caught two of them in my life, and they're about as a hard a fighting fish as you can imagine, pound for pound. They're nothing but muscle from front to back. And, they're gorgeous fish. They're beautiful green fins and all that type of thing. And, I think I caught one about 5 or 6 pounds. I know the record's, 20 pounds or whatever, but it's just amazing. Those fish. But, that was the big concern back in the 80s was the hydrilla and the bowfins.
Oh.
Didn't know that. But it was when I moved down here, and now it's snakeheads and whatever else, blue cats.
Yeah.
So,
We're going to have to learn to live with them. We're never going to get rid of them.
Nope. And, you're right.
I have no idea what that fishery is going to look like in 10 or 15 years. We just have to...
Well, the commercial market on the snakeheads is growing, as it is on the blue cat.
Yes.
And that's going to help.
It'll help, but the only way they're really getting them is bow fishing.
Yeah,
Some of these guys have gone through the effort of getting a seafood dealer's license, and, they're selling them, because they don't move around much, so it's not
right. The
kind of fish you're going to see in a pound net. In the lower Potomac.
Right.
They're
right.
Back in that hydrilla or whatever, spatter dock, any kind of grass, because they're an ambush predator.
Yep.
Just like, say, a chain pickerel. And they just sit there and they very patient until they see what they want.
And then then it's Katie bar the door. Yeah. Well, you just got to be careful of guys firing flare guns at you if you go bow fishing, in particular around the Newburgh area. I don't know if you read that report, but...
No, I did not.
Charles County man was arrested on a criminal assault charge after anglers on Middletown Branch complained that he fired on them. Guys were bow fishing May 13th, 10:30 at night. The guy began yelling obscenities and shining a light on them. Then they heard what they thought was a gunshot and heard a splash. Well, he fired a flare gun at them.
Waterfront property owners, there's... A lot of things that kind of degrade the experience, and whether it's jet skis or some of these kids take their jet skis and modify the exhaust so it's really loud. And I could, somebody's bow fishing and they got a really loud generator.
Oh, sure. I get that.
You got the windows open in your house and it wakes you up.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always that thing about courtesy on the water.
Exactly.
And on the
highways. Thing about, we've all got to try to be recognizant of other people. And,
I get it. Yeah. I saw a couple jet skis yesterday coming across the bridge. They were down there between the spans, and guys were fishing in there, and they were, flying right by them, within casting distance. I mean, there's no call for courtesy. Of course, the guys that modify their little four cylinders with the loud mufflers and go down the highway, going,
it's the same type of thing.
Yeah.
And jet skis in general are not so bad. They're no different than the other boat. The thing is that quite often, they don't go away. They're like buzzing around you, you know. They're jumping wakes or, you know, doing donuts out in the middle of the river or whatever, you know. Because it's that kind of thing. I mean, who, if you had a, when you were a kid, if you had a dirt bike, would you just drive around at 25 miles an hour on a dirt road? No, you wouldn't, like, go into a gravel pit and go crazy with those things. And that's, you know.
But, yep. I get it. Hey, snowmobiles was my thing, buddy, back in the day. So,
oh, my.
All right. Hey, we got to take a break, Keith.
Okay.
Hang on there a minute, and we'll be right back to you. Folks, I got to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. Now, here's the focus of the week is 308 ammunition. If you own a 308, you can get some really, really good shells. These are reloads, but they're military grade. They have the sealed primers and everything else. It's all brass. All brass, 150 grain soft points, and then there's some hardball ammunition there too. What you can pick what you want. It's like $10 a box for 20. Might be $10.99, might be $9.99. But regardless, it's a cheap price on 308 ammo. So if you want to go blast away a bunch of cheap ammo somewhere, and you have a 308 and want to do it, Clyde Sports Shop is the place to do it, and you can buy as much as you want. They've got a ton of it down there, so go check that out at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Phone number 410-242-6108. Call them up. Tell them you want 20 boxes. I mean, that's just a suggestion. It's not a requirement. The phone number, website's ClydeSports.com, fishing hotline 247-FISH. Gun owners, your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is celebrated at the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. It's where I shoot. Since 1944, the AGC on Marriottsville Road has brought shooters together in a safe and friendly environment to enjoy the various shooting sports and to help them become better shooters. Why not see what the AGC has to offer and then sign up? Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members? Mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233. Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCPM.
Crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do
was a thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his folks, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man.
There you go. Talk about the water man. That's for sure. Bird Dog Wheeler and the, what are they? Road Kings. That's
Road
right.
Road Kings.
Yeah. I assume you've heard them, Keith.
I have. Yeah. I've been at a couple of events where they play. He's great.
Yeah, they're good guys. No question. So, hey, I wanted to ask you a question. You talked about bluefish, talked about striped bass. Any chance we're going to have any trout back in here?
Well, we have speckled trout right now. There's a friend of mine caught one in the chop tank. But down in the Tangier Sound up to Hooper's Island.
Yeah.
It's like this secret fishery.
Really?
It's really good fishing. And they're also over on the Point Lookout side. But there's a lot of speckled trout here. And,
how big are they?
I've had a couple of pictures come into the fishing report, 12 pounds.
So the tide runners are coming back.
Well, now these are speckled trout.
Oh, these are speckled trout. Okay, these are the shallow water, if you want to, speckled trout. The yellow, what do they call them?
Where I grew up, we called them weakfish.
Weakfish, yeah, tide runner, weakfish, yeah.
Carolina, they call them gray trout or yellowtail trout.
Yep.
They tend to show up just around September, October.
Right.
And it's very spotty, and they're just like the guys that are bottom fishing for the last of the spot.
Yeah.
And the croaker.
Yeah.
They'll just be on the mark as far as being legal. And then I also hear, I've never participated, but I hear stories all the time about the ships, the cargo ships that are in the Middle Bay.
Yeah.
They have all their lights on, and they attract them.
Ah, yeah.
And there's guys that fish around those ships.
Yeah.
Right back, and they catch,
Well, yeah, again, I go back many years, but used to jig fish for those big tide runner trout.
And
in the Honga, man, and I'm telling you what, it's quite a fishery.
We had them in the Delaware Bay.
Delaware Bay was fantastic for sure. No question. Yeah.
But things are always in constant change, flux or whatever. That's the way kind of the earth is and fisheries. I mean, it was interesting. We went to buy some crab meat down in Cambridge for Mother's Day.
Yep.
And I look in the fish, they got all kinds of fish there too. Blowfish. They got blowfish. I brought back a flood of memories of the late 60s.
Oh, man.
We were just covered with those things.
People don't know about blowfish. I mean, that's chicken of the sea or whatever they call them now. I mean, the only thing you eat is like from the middle back, basically the tail. It's like a drumstick.
Yes.
Spectacular eating. No question about it.
They were great eating, but boy, they were pesky. You couldn't surf fish.
Right.
They were like the Mongolian horde.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Even if you were crabbing, they would attack your crab bait.
Yeah.
And then we had such wonderful croaker fishing here a while back, as you know.
Yeah. Where are they?
And of course we had the big bluefish, in the 80s. And
where are the croakers? I mean, 10 years ago, we had tons of croakers.
Yes. I've been looking at Virginia reports and stuff, and they've got them as far north as the Rappahannock.
So they'll be here, maybe.
They'll be here, but then unfortunately, it's not going to be what we saw 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Those 17 and 18, 19-inch croakers.
Right.
It's just kind of fallen out of the population. But, guys are catching the Point Lookout, in that general area. Not a lot, but they're catching them, and they're catching them at the mouth of the Wicomico River on the Potomac.
Right.
And a guy sent in an angler's log that he got into a bunch of spot while he was croaker fishing.
Really?
everybody's like, oh boy, spot, where the spot?
Yeah. Everybody wants a spot. Well, yeah, I mean, I think we could have almost wiped out the spot population here with the popularity of live lining a couple of years ago. And the spot.
You know, everybody's chumming right now.
Yeah, the spot. But yeah, they're chumming. You're exactly right. No shortage of men, Hayden, but finding spots a little bit tricky, isn't it?
I asked somebody the other day what they paid for. I was talking to some commercial crabbers to just get some intel.
Yeah.
And razor clams, $50 a bushel.
For razor clams. Oh, my gosh.
The last I bought razor clams when we were croaker fishing, and I paid $15 a bushel.
But, yeah. Well, let me tell you, the Trotliner guys, they love them. I mean, you know, they'll buy them. They'll put them out there. You know, they put three or four in a bag and, you know, on their trot line they go and they bait their lines with them. And, you know, they have trouble not only with the, they'll attract the crabs, of course, or they wouldn't do it, but everything eats them. And, you know, Calno's rays will just come along and go right up the trot line and crunch them and suck them down and you know, that's it. But,
I was kind of smiling when you said they love them.
Huh?
They don't exactly love them, but they sure do catch crabs.
Well, they catch. That's why they like them. I mean, they catch they're as effective as anything, if not more so. So, you know.
You know, they have to rebait every day.
Every day. Yeah.
Use the snoots. But you're right. The cowboys raise, crunch them up, and the big terrapins take their paws and rip the bag open.
That's true. They do. You're right. Yeah.
So they're replacing those bags every day.
Every day. I know it, yeah.
But there's no question that they catch more crabs than chicken necks right now. And
sort of
the same thing last year, too.
Sure.
You know, and obviously it's a very competitive fishery, you know. They're paying their bills.
You think crabbing's a competitive fishery? Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. So,
wonderful thing to chum striped bass with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But at $50 a bushel?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing the Menhaden. I'm good, you know? Yeah, I'm doing the...
The guys doing well from, like, Rock Hall, you know, Swan Point, Love Point. You know, some guys, recreational guys, will set up on Pedicary Point.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some charter boats last week, you know, chumming at the Bay Bridge.
I saw a whole bunch of boats yesterday on the western shore side. I don't know if that particular area is known as Gum Thickets or
Buckton Island.
Yeah, below the bridge on the western shore, there were a ton of boats over there.
It might have been on that 30-foot edge of Hackett's.
Hackett's
that's
Bar,
a
yeah,
really good place.
Yeah, Hackett's
fish.
Bar, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's
that outside 30-foot edge has been a real hot spot to be.
Yeah, that's what I told Robin. It was called Hackett's Bar, where's Gum Thickets at? Where the heck's that?
Gum Thickets is off of Kent Island, and it's funny. It got its name because there was a bunch of gum trees there, and you know, a lot of it had been cut for timber,
right?
The pine, and at that time, you know, the gum trees weren't worth anything, so they didn't log them.
Right.
And they stood out like a sore thumb, and that's how it got its name.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, now the gum trees here on the Eastern Shore, they all go to China. They turn them into vanities and kitchen cabinets. They turn them into particle board.
Beautiful.
Back then, they weren't worth anything.
Well, the eels go to Egypt, gum trees go to China. It's a shame we don't know how to utilize our own natural resources here in this country, isn't it?
Well, a lot of them we do, Alan.
I know. I'm just, you know, just making a...
They, you know, it's so much cheaper to make stuff over there. And
it is.
It's the world we live in.
Yep.
You know, why would you pay $10 for something if you can pay $6, you know?
maybe we can get razor clams imported for less money.
Well, I don't know. We'd probably wind up bringing some critter in that we would find out 10 years later, like, oh, my God.
No doubt. All right, we're kidding around here. We're going to take a little break, Keith, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Hey, let me tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop. And, you know, they've got everything for crabbing and fishing and the guns and the firearms and the gunsmithing and the rod and reel repair. We got all that. You knew that. I've been telling you that for years. But right now they've got 308 ammo. For 308, yes, if you own a 308, Whether that's a modern sporting rifle, whether that's a, you know, whether that's your deer rifle, whether that's your sniper rifle, whatever you like. 308 ammo is inexpensive. No, it's cheap at Clyde Sports Shop right now. It's like 10 bucks or something for a 20-round box. This is military reloads, all brass. It's got the sealed primer. They got both 150-grain soft nose, and they got the hardball bullets as well. So you can check that out at Clyde's, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-3474 at Clyde's Sports Shop.
WCBM Baltimore.
Partly cloudy starting off this Saturday. It's going to be a warm afternoon with a high closing in on 89 degrees. Just a few clouds overhead tonight with a low dropping down to 66. The warming trend will continue on Sunday. A sunny day tomorrow with a high near 91. And mostly sunny on Monday with a high in the mid-90s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but has some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. Now, I don't go through the fast food or the chain store drive-thru when I'm on Route 50 heading to the marsh or going fishing. Oh, no, I'm patient, but my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of Rise Up coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery, and from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think Big Donut. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, and be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see me there. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I did snow and rain and bright sunshine.
Dead in the line.
Back in the line. Let's talk to Uncle Dale there in Easton, Maryland, on with Keith Lockwood. You got Keith locked in. There he is. And oh, who'd I kill? Anybody? I killed everybody. Okay, Keith Lockwood and Dale, please call back. I broke the whole thing. I didn't let my producer push the buttons that he should have pushed, and that was my fault. Sorry. All right. Dale and Keith, please call back because I'm getting very nervous here towards the end of the show. Hello. They can't hear me because they're not listening online. Well, this is an awkward pause. Let's see who this is. I think we got him back, I hope. Let's see what happens here. Sorry, folks. That was me. I did it. There's Keith back. Keith Lockwood back. Good morning, Keith. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I pressed the wrong button. I was trying to get Uncle Dale up on the line with you and talk about whatever he wants to talk about. He's back. You're back. So let's. You mind taking
morning,
a question? You mind taking a question? Morning, Dale.
Mr. Technology, you sound like me.
Who, me?
Yeah.
would you
cut the squirrels off or something?
No, I just hit the wrong button. Keith, I thought, was locked in, and I hit the button to go to you, and everybody went away. So that
Okay. All the old guys are getting dragged into the 21st century, all this technology.
We won't talk about that. there's a reason I'm not going to talk about it. I got in trouble talking about technology yesterday. So, yeah.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good morning, Dale.
I guess I'll see you this afternoon.
Yes.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I am too. Keith, got a question on cow nose rays. Do you have any, my son's got involved with them a little bit, and I was curious about any kind of recipe to cook the damn things. I mean, I've not seen anything that looks palatable, but maybe there's something out there that...
There's a bunch of stuff, Dale, on the Internet. Just, you know, Google cooking and filleting cow nose rays. I've seen several of them. I'll be honest with you, I've always got something better to eat.
Yeah.
Actually, guys, if there is a cook in Northern Virginia at one of the restaurants down there that specializes in cow nose ray, and you've almost got to order it ahead of time and reserve your spot because everybody who's tried it says it's absolutely delicious the way this guy prepares it. I don't know if his secrets are there, but apparently he has found a way to make it palatable.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of work to cleaning them because it really basically it's the muscle in the shoulder that
right.
you eat. And of course, there's a lot of waste. You got to figure out how are you going to get rid of the rest of the cow nose ray.
Right.
But, guys, barbecue them. I've seen a bunch of YouTube videos about, how to cut them up and how to cook them. I just hadn't done it.
Keith, do you know if there's any talk about a fisheries management plan on the rays yet? Is that on anybody's radar?
They're looking at it. As we all know, there was a big stew about the cow nose ray tournaments.
Right.
They're trying to evaluate it.
Let me give everybody just a brief paragraph off the Maryland Hunting Coalition website. And if you want to go on there and read the joint statement between the Maryland Hunting Coalition and the Maryland Bowhunter Society, here's one paragraph that sums up our assessment of the actions of the General Assembly. under the title Tournament Prohibition for Cow Nose Race. The Humane Society of the United States, HSUS, headquartered in Maryland, successfully pushed for a termination of cow nose ray fishing tournaments whereby archers competed for the taking of rays via passage of Senate Bill 268 / House Bill 211. YouTube videos of the actions taken on the water proved too much to sensitive lawmakers. As introduced, these bills would have simply prohibited future tournaments. But the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Caucus, with input from the coalition, issued a statement of concern in conjunction with the Maryland Bowhunter Society, cautioning its colleagues that science should dictate fisheries management, not emotional rhetoric. Instead, a fishery management plan, which does not currently exist for the cow nose ray, should be developed as a prerequisite first step. The final version of the legislation, one, requires DNR to indeed develop a fishery management plan before December 1st, 2017, and two, prohibits cow nose ray fishing tournaments until July 1st, 2018. So a moratorium for 1 year, a time by which DNR's regulations will have been adopted. That's our look at it. That's our take on the cow nose ray plan. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. So, but Dale, you know, Keith, I think answered the question. There's a lot of
online
stuff.
I was just curious because, again, it be something interesting to try.
I'll tell you what, I'll go get one, slap it on your porch, and you can play with it all you want.
Well, I think, Keith, that might be something to try at an upcoming campfire.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Keith, I'll see you this afternoon.
All right, Dale, thanks for the call.
All right, see you.
See you. Thanks, Keith. All right.
You know, it's funny, Dale. It's like, I mean, Alan, it's like, you know, when I was growing up as a budding archer, you know, and we would hunt groundhogs in the summertime, and some of these old guys would tell us, oh, man, your groundhog's really good to eat, you know. But on a hot July afternoon, I was just like, I don't know. I think it's better to eat.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, give me a rockfish fillet slathered with Dijonnais and broiled, you know, or something like that. We'll go with that, you know. But I'd be interesting to try, you know. It'd be, like you said, like groundhogs. It'd be interesting to try.
If I stumble into one and the situation's right where I can deal with it, I will. I'm going to give it a try.
Sure, sure. There are a lot of fish, I can tell you that. I tell this story from time to time on myself. Fishing out of the Honga River with Tommy Goody, and I hook this fish. We're bouncing bucktails for trout, and I'm bottom fishing as well. So I hook this fish, and away it goes. Whew, gone. I'm like, man, this is a strong fish. Tommy looks at me and goes, just cut the line. It's a ray. I said, Tommy, it's a big fish. He goes, cut the line. I said, okay, you sure, man? I'm fighting this fish, and, you know, it's all over the place. And he goes, it's a ray. Cut the line. I said, are you sure? Yeah. So I crank down on it. I point the rod tip at the fish. And line breaks. The line hadn't even recalled back to the boat. Tommy goes, you know, big red drum will act just like that. So... Hey, where are we going? What happened with all the puppy drum that showed up a couple years ago? Have they grown up yet?
Yes.
Where are they?
They those small puppy drum that were, you know, 14, 16 inches long, that the salinity and the niche, the environmental niche of the, you know, lower eastern shore was just perfect for them. And then as they grew up, they were like, well, I want to be somewhere else. And that's exactly what they did. They're actually, the guys that are fishing for speckled trout are catching a few. But unfortunately, they're just shy of the minimum size. But the big ones are coming. I've heard of a couple of people catching big ones.
Good.
On the mud leads, you know, around the target ships.
Target ships, yep.
And it's we're still in June.
Yeah, we're going to try and get down there. We're going to try and get down there later in the summer, early fall, and try and.
And we're all keeping our fingers crossed that the cobia are going to show up.
You and I both, brother. All right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, hold on. I got to take a last break, and I'll get right back to you for a couple final words. Thanks.
Gun owners, nearby the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore has a full-service facility and gun ranges that offer all you need to enjoy your firearms and to become a better shooter. The AGC on Marriottsville Road has a 50-yard handgun range, 100 and 200-yard multipurpose ranges, a trap range, and much more. It's where I shoot. No matter what you shoot, from rimfire to muzzleloader to hunting rifles and modern sporting rifles, the AGC offers it all. Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, well, there's the music. Keith, thanks for joining us this morning, buddy. We greatly appreciate that. Hey, Keith, can you hear me?
Hope everybody gets out there and gets to do some fishing. It's just a wonderful time.
Take the kids out, go fishing. I think the 20th is a free fishing day, right?
That's correct.
There you go. No license required. Thanks for joining us, buddy. Hope you see you again.
Take care, Alan.
All right, Keith. Thanks, bud. See you. Bye-bye. There you go.